Well, so on this Easter, what I want to offer to you are what I believe to be the two most important words in our language, in our English language, the two most important words. These are two words that I believe can change your life. These two words can be placed into absolutely any situation, and alter the outcome. Any situation, these two words. These two words can change your life. They're the words, but God. But God. When you put these two words together, they form this incredibly powerful truth. These words point us to the great interrupter of it all. And we need an interrupter. We needed an interrupter. We needed someone to come in and change the direction that humanity was headed. We needed the great interrupter. But God, the one who can powerfully and graciously interrupt our lives and change our lives forever. And this phrase, but God, appears in the Bible at least 45 times, depending on some of your translation, but at least 45 times. And I'm not the one that coined this, but I agree with it, and I've said it many times. If it's in the scriptures once, it's enough, right? If it's in there twice, we should probably pay attention. 45 times, these two words. And every single time, whatever was happening before those two words, it changed. It changed. Those two words, every time, a radical change occurred after those words were inserted. And when you think about it, these two words actually contain in themselves the whole of the gospel. It's like, this is how things were, but God. And then that's the rest of the story. This is the gospel. Like, and here's what I give to you. I want you to hear this. This is my prayer that you would hear this. My prayer is that if you think you've already got this down pat, then you would take this in again and you'd be ready to go out and tell it to somebody, okay? But here's what I want us to know about these two words, but God. No matter who you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, oh, but Shannon, you don't know. No matter what you've done, no matter how you have lived, no matter what mistakes you have made, no matter what failures you have been involved in, no matter what addictions you may find yourself in, there can be a but God moment that radically changes who you were and who you will become. But God. The resurrection of Christ, Easter, it represents the ultimate but God moment in history. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 13. And if not, it will be on the screen. Acts chapter 13, Paul is preaching in the synagogue. He's preaching to religious people, Jewish people who have come to the synagogue to worship. But it also says in this text that there are those that are Gentiles, they're non-Jewish people that have also come. They're in the outer courts to hear the word of God. These are people who are either, they believe in God or they're searching after God. But there they are present. And Paul comes to tell them, and you go, well, shouldn't they already kind of know this? Shouldn't we already kind of know this? But here he is, and he's speaking to them, and this is, but God. Listen, beginning in verse 26, Paul's preaching. He says, brothers, you sons of Abraham, so that's our Jewish people, and also you God-fearing Gentiles, this message of salvation has been sent to us. The people in Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize Jesus as the one the prophets had spoken about. Instead, they condemned him, and in doing this, they fulfilled the prophets' words that are read every Sabbath. He's saying, we have all this information, we knew it, we understood it, it's preached every single Sabbath. The information's been there. In verse 28, he said they found no legal reason to execute him, but they asked Pilate to have him killed anyway. So it shows the nature of their heart, where they were. Verse 29, when they had done all that the prophecy said about him, torture, flogging, scorn, carrying his cross. I mean, all these things that have been written before in Scripture. When they had done all of that the prophecy said about him, they took him down from the cross. He had completed the work. And they placed him in a tomb. All right? So in case you're not certain, that's where you put dead people. The tomb, the grave, is where a dead person is placed. A living person's not placed in a tomb. A living person's not placed in a grave. He gave his life on the cross. His life was no more. And when they were certain of that, they took him down and they placed him in a tomb. And then verse 30, as Paul, as he's preaching to the people that know the information, he says this, But God, previously they took him down from the cross and placed him in a tomb, meaning he was dead. But God raised him from the dead. There it is. It's the great interruption. This is the greatest interruption in Scripture. When Jesus breathed no more, 3 days, and then God raised him from the dead. But God raised him from the dead. Goes on to say, verse 31, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him. So there is evidence, there were witnesses from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news, what God promised our ancestors. But God. Jesus died, but God. And in the text, Paul, like I said, he's preaching this sermon. He's in the synagogue, and he says what I want every single one of us to hear today. The very first thing Paul says is, God has a message for you. Porch community, God has a message for you. Guests, visitors, God has a message for you. Paul desperately wants those that are gathered in the synagogue, who have shown up to church, he wants them to know who Jesus is. And so he says, God has a message for you. Here's the message encapsulated in a few thoughts. Here's the message that God has for us through Jesus Christ, based on what Jesus has done. He cares for you. What Christ did for each of us shows that God cares for us. He loves us. He doesn't hate us. You don't sacrifice for one you hate. See, a lot of us, though, we've gotten hung up on this. We've actually thought at times that God didn't like us, that God did not love us, that God did not care about us. You know people who have that mindset. No, this is what the work of the cross and the but God moment of the empty tomb and Jesus resurrected and alive is the reality that he cares for you. He loves you. He loves you passionately. The passion of the Christ. It is a passionate love. He has a message of love for you. He loves the creation he created. He loves the creation. He did not want people living on this earth without purpose, without meaning. He wants you to have hope. So I think an important question for me to ask on any Sunday, but most certainly on this Sunday, is, has he been trying to get your attention with this reality, with this truth? Has he been knocking on the door of your heart? Has he been saying, would you please make room for me? Because I do love you. I do care about you. I am passionately pursuing you. I have done it all for you so that you may have life. Has he been pursuing you that way? Do you recognize that? Do you sense that? And here's the deal with Paul's message here in Acts 13. Not only does he say, I mean, it's just enough to know that God has a message for us, right? I mean, any of us get a message from God, you're like, that's great. Like, I don't need anything more from you, God. I get the message. But it goes beyond that. Because God didn't just have a message to tell us, he actually showed us. And you know what he did? He sent the messenger to you. God sent a messenger to you. His ultimate message to humanity, it wasn't a sermon. It wasn't a prophecy. It wasn't a set of instructions or laws that you better follow. It was the person of Jesus Christ. He sent a messenger for you, and it's Jesus. I don't know if you have ever stopped and pondered this, and it might just give away my strange brain. I don't know if you've ever stopped and thought about that we as human beings, men, women, boys, girls, we're trapped. And what I mean by that is that we are restricted. We're trapped, we're restricted by time and space. We can't change time. We can't go back in time. We can't speed up time. I mean, Superman did, yeah, but that doesn't count. Like, we regular people, we can't change time. And not only that, but we can't change the reality of the space that we live in. It's like, here we are, right? We can't just, you know, twinkle our nose or do something and be in another place. We are restricted by time and space. And the reason I mention this, because you're going, where are you going with this, Shannon? This is weird. It's Easter, but okay. The reason I mention this is that this time and space thing, it's a barrier. And we can't get around it, over it, under it, anything like that. No preposition's going to work against this barrier of time and space that we are restricted by. See, here's the deal. Even by the best effort, by mere effort, by scholarship and by devotion and by the very best of intentions and being the most disciplined ever, we cannot reach out beyond time and beyond space and connect to anything beyond that. There's a lot of religions in the world that they don't claim God. They might give it another name or say something else, but there's nothing that we can do to get beyond time and space. We can't. We cannot connect with the supernatural. And here's it, even though every single religion that's ever been made up, every single religion that's ever been made up has attempted and failed to do this, to go beyond time and to go beyond space to get to whatever it is out there. Here's why I bring this up. But God, his plan was to change this barrier. He changes it. He kicks it over for a period of time. It's like, what happened here? What occurred? We can't get to you. We can't change time. We can't change where we live and the dimension we live in. So what does God do? He sent a son to enter into our world for a time in our timeline and for a time in our space. He came to us. See, religion is humanity's failed attempt to reach and discover God. But faith in Jesus Christ is God bursting into our world, reaching out for us. We can't get to him, but God can get to us. And he does this through Jesus. He does this through Jesus. The very well-known verse, John 3:16. I want to read to you verse 16 and 17. And here's what it says. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son. He came to us so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. See, you don't see the words there, there is actually a but there. But God, we're condemned. The things we've done and the way we live, we live under condemnation. But God sent Jesus in the world to save the world through him. This is the difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world. A lot of people want to say, I've heard this, I actually thought this for a period of my life before I became a believer. It really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. It doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're a decent person. It doesn't matter. There's no long-term effects of good, bad, or indifferent about what you believe. It's just here we are. You know, and that's living in our time and in our space thinking, and I get it. Some people can get like kind of logical about it, and you're like, oh. But there's more. But God, it does matter. It does matter. It makes all the difference. Religion is humans' failed attempt to reach and discover God. But faith in Jesus Christ is God bursting into our world through Jesus. So what Paul is preaching here in Acts 13 is, hey, God has a message for you. God has a message for you. And not only that, but God has sent a messenger to you. He's broken those barriers that we're restricted by. He has come to you. He wants you to know him. And here to me is the very best part of what happens here, of Paul's message that he's relaying, he's retelling the story. Is not only is there a message and that he sent us a messenger, but that did you know God has worked a miracle for you? Stop and let that settle on you for a moment. The God of this universe has worked a miracle for you. Jesus was dead. Heart not beating. Lungs not pumping, not doing what it's supposed to do. Brain synapses not firing. Done. But God raised him from the dead. And friends, that's a miracle. And here's the thing. He works a miracle for you. Well, I'm not dead, Shannon. Maybe not physically. Spiritually, apart from God, we are dead. We are dead. We are lifeless. We are without hope. We're in the dark. We might as well be in the grave, be in the tomb. Apart from God, we are dead. But he works a miracle for us. But God raises us to life through Jesus Christ. We're trapped without him, but he gives us life. Acts 13, verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. Those two words, but God. Remember what I said? Every time those two words are in the scriptures, what follows is a radical change. He's talking about death, and now it's life. But God, that's miraculous. Jesus was put on the cross and left for dead, but God raised him up. Jesus was put in a tomb, but God brought him out. Right? They walked away, disciples, friends, enemies, everyone walked away, thought it was all over, but God made sure it was just the beginning. But God, those two little words of hope, those two little words there, and they're not just for Jesus. Well, yeah, God raised Jesus because he's Jesus. Of course, this is for you. It's for me. Friends, I hope that this is my prayer, that what I'm about to read from Ephesians chapter 2, that what I'm about to read, I hope this is your story. I hope this is your story. And if it's not, after reading these five verses, if this is not your story, please know this. It can be. And it can be today. This can be your story today. You ready? Beginning in verse 1 of Ephesians 2. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our own sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace you have been saved. But God, I pray that is your story. I pray you go, yep, dead because of disobedience. Yep, dead because of many sins. Yep, used to, yes. Oof. Oh, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But God. Are those two words, those two powerful words, those two incredibly, radically life-changing words, I need to ask you, are those two words in your story? It's written 45 times in the scriptures. Is it written in your story? But God. Because that's when everything changes. But God. Every person who believes in Jesus Christ has this testimony, Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. Once you were dead in sin, unable to find peace, but God showed up. Once you were running from God, but when you finally stopped, and maybe even just barely glanced over your shoulder, but God was standing right there waiting for you. Once you were deceived, maybe you were hopeless, but God opened your eyes. Hear this. This is my Easter plea. Every story of every person to ever live on this earth, every story is incomplete without two words, but God. Every story. If God can resurrect Jesus and bring him back to life, then God can certainly change your life today. But God. See, we live in this world, right? This world restricted. This world that's bound by time and space. We live in this world. You read words like deception and hopeless and dead and sin. And you read this, and you're like, yeah, I get that. I kind of feel that. Or, you know, we get it. We live in this kind of a world. We live in a kind of world that says no. But God says yes. We live in a world that says can't, but God says can. We live in a world that kind of whimpers out like defeat. But God, he proclaims victory. We live in this world that pronounces death. Oh, you're no longer breathing, no longer working there, dead. But God declares life. But God. The world sees impossible, but God speaks possible, and it happens. And the world feels hopeless, but what does God do? He brings hope. But God. Now, here's what I want to mention here. If you really, truly want those two words in your story. You want that. You're going, I need that. I need those two words. I'm freaking out about the next chapter to come because things have been really crazy. I don't know. Like, or maybe things have been okay, but you're like sensing like there's more. There's something greater. I want you to know this. What that stirring up in your heart, that stirring up in your mind, that you sense that going, I want that. I want those two words. I want to make sure those are part of my story. Here's what's going on. In your heart, in your mind, it's a, I need Jesus. I want to recognize Jesus as my Savior. I want somebody to know that I believe that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he is. He's the Messiah, the Savior, the one that came to take away, yes, the sins of the world, and that includes mine. That's what, if you want those two words in their story, this is what your heart wants. This is what you're hearing. You're saying, I want my sins to be forgiven. I don't want to live how it used to be. I need that but God right there to change it all. You're saying, I want my but God story. I want that. God, please change my life. Please interrupt my life in the most wonderful way. So I must ask this. Have you turned to him? Have you declared this? Have you prayed this? Have you sought this out? Have you talked to another person who you know is a follower of Jesus and been like, I need this. What do I need to do? You need to say yes to Jesus. You need to say Jesus, you're Lord. Jesus, I believe you forgive my sins. I believe that God raised you from the dead, and because you are the resurrection and the life, then that can happen in my very life too. And I need it desperately. But God, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what's holding on to you or whatever you're holding on to, but God wants to change your story. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Us. That's you and me. But God. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the glorious, glorious hope that is found in these two words, but God. Jesus died, but God raised from the dead. May we recognize our sin-dead ways and allow you to change the course of our future. This very moment, Father, if that is our desire today, may our worship, may our prayers, may our hearts, may our voices declare your graciousness and your goodness to us through Jesus Christ. But God, Lord, may this be our story. And may we respond to you now as only you deserve, our worship, our adoration, our prayers, our confessions. Lord, the altar is open. But God, in the name of Jesus, the risen Savior, we pray.